Good morning, brothers and sisters, as we've gathered in our separate places at this time, in this unprecedented time, as we keep hearing over and over of taking time apart from each other, in this time of social distancing and in the midst of this coronavirus epidemic or pandemic, excuse me. And as we've gathered separately, no, we're still worshiping. We're still able to be connected. We're still able to be grounded with a message of hope that comes from our God. This morning for the sermon, the scripture reading for it comes out of the book of John and chapter 11, verses 1 through 42. Now, it's a longer reading of scripture. It's a full story, a full narrative of Jesus raising Lazarus. But I believe these words are helpful and important for us to hear the whole story. So I'll begin on verse 1 of chapter 11, the book of John, and invite you to follow along with me as I read and as we go on with the sermon. So hear these words. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. After having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. While Mary stayed at home, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but he was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you also believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that when they believe that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face unwrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. In this season of Lent, we've been taking the opportunity to look at our perceptions and cultural values and how that impacts our faith. And then when I came upon this text in the Revised Common Lectionary for the fifth Sunday of Lent, it stood out to me. One, how some of the words and the language and the narrative in this story of Jesus, this teaching of Jesus from the Gospel of John, how it did match a lot of what we may see going on, you know, a talk of disease, a talk of struggle, of hardship. And as I looked deeper at this, I began to see how for myself, I struggle with my perception of new life. I struggle with my perception of a new beginning. And not necessarily because of that, because of the new beginning or of hope or anything like that, but rather how I believe in the power and hope of God. Part of the challenge, I believe, for us, and you kind of see this in the story with some of the struggles that Jesus received, is as human beings, we very much have our understanding of how things go. We have our understanding and perceptions, I mean, sensory perceptions, that influence how we think the world should be, how certain things happen. Now, some of this makes sense. I mean, we know because of our sensory perception and by experience and time and everything we know about the world that the sun rises in the east and the sun sets in the west. We also know that there are seasons to the year. We know when things are hot or when they are cold. We also build up perceptions about things that we see in our lives of how certain things are, like how we go to school, how we go to the store, all those things are based, you know, on our sensory experience and also our lived out experience. So we begin to structure our world around how we see things, how things ought to be. Now, in this story from John 11, we see that perception of how things could be, and even how the power of God can be, how it can be stretched and formed by experience. Now, here in the story, there is a line here. It's in verse, starting at 39. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Now, why that statement there, and it makes another statement about Lazarus being dead for 4 days, why that is such a big deal, it was understood in the time of Jesus and in current, you know, or the current at that time thought of death, is that when you died, your spirit kind of lingered with you for about 3 or 4 days. Or 3 days, excuse me. It lingered with you for 3 days. Let me get that right. Lingered with you for 3 days. And so the idea of somebody being resurrected in that time or Lazarus being healed in that 3 day period was an understood. It was, you know, based on their understanding of the world, how, you know, they viewed things, how they were taught. It made sense to them that in 3 days, Lazarus could still be healed and raised up from the dead. But here we have Jesus coming, having the stone rolled away on day 4. Now at this point, Mary, Martha, everybody who had been with Jesus at the time, the disciples, would have fully believed and understood that Lazarus was fully dead. There was no coming back from death for Lazarus. However, Jesus had a different understanding. He knew the power of God. He knew his power and how that power of hope and new life and even of being raised from the dead could take place and how it could be done to open up their understanding of the power and the hope that we have from God. So there we have Jesus calling out to Lazarus. And we have Lazarus coming forth of being raised. Their understanding of how things could be, their limited perception on hope and life and the possibility of healing, their limits had just become released. They were tossed. Instead, we see the power of God at work in the life of Christ and in the raising of Lazarus. Now, this story for us today in our lives, I know when I think about a new beginning or hope or what it could look like, can be challenged. And I say it could be challenged because I know I have my understanding of how the world should be, of how things go. And I'm not saying this in a presumptive way that how Travis Walker thinks the world should be is how things should be, but rather just based on all that, of what I've been taught, what my cultural background, what I've learned in church, what I've learned in the classroom, all these things, what I've learned on the job. I mean, you name it, all these things that have been taught to me. While there are many, many, many good things, believe me, I've had great teachers and educators who have worked with me and mentors, and also I'm by no means belittling them. But all my education, all my understanding, how I expect things to be, pales in comparison to what God can do in my life, in your life, in the lives of our family members or our friends. And this is important for us to dig deep and to consider, especially in this time when we've gone through all this disruption, all the changes. We're hearing of people struggling, being sick, of in our healthcare system, you know, and not necessarily being stressed right now, the date of this recording in Prowers County. But, you know, that possibility and reality for some of suffering, of struggling. Hope is going to look different for some people right now. And how the idea of new life or new beginning can be will be challenged by some, especially if your world has come to a grinding halt. However, I believe for us, when we find ourselves struggling on how there can be a way forward, if we're telling ourselves that there is no possibility of a way forward, there is no possibility of life after this moment, I believe this story speaks to us and challenges that notion of how we understand that there can be a new life, how there can be a new beginning, how there can be a way forward out of our current struggle. And I share this not to belittle us in our understanding, by no means. Mary and Martha and disciples, they were working with what they knew. And that's the same for us. We know the things that we know. But our faith calls us to step out. And instead of relying solely on our own understanding, to instead rely and lean into and believe in the power of God, of how our God can transform us, how our God can transform those who are close to us, and how our God could be at work to help us find a way forward. Now, in this, I'm not saying that God is at work in a way where everything is going to be peachy roses tomorrow, that all of our struggles are going to be just totally gone. No, there's a lot we're going to have to pick back up after this time. And in this story here, too, I believe helps shows us. I mean, Mary and Martha and others, you know, struggled in that loss of Lazarus. They grieved. They wept. I mean, they had lost somebody they had loved. And it could be for us right now, we may be in that space, you know, before the raising of Lazarus, where we're struggling, we're weeping, we're grieving. And brothers and sisters, that is totally reasonable. That's acceptable. That is appropriate when so many things have changed, with the way our lives have been disrupted. This is understandable. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to be struggling. It's not a judgment on any of us at this time. It's just where we are. It's how our lives are. But yet, in the midst of these struggles, of our pain and of our grief, our God is still at work. We believe in the God and in the Savior who is able to raise on the fourth day. We believe in a God and a Savior who still works to show us how wonderful He is. We still believe and have hope in a God and in a Savior that after His death on a cross, where His side was pierced, where He was put into a tomb, He was still resurrected. He still showed us through that resurrection how great our God is and how our God sees the world differently and how our God calls us to live and to hope and into life. Brothers and sisters, these are challenging and hard days, but we are following a God who is with us, who calls us to life now and for all of our days. So I call on all of us in this season of examination, of looking into our hearts and our minds, of how we perceive and how we understand the world around us, to examine how we understand, see the world. I believe now is a time for us to see how we might place limits on how God can be at work in our lives. Perhaps we are called to examine the limit of what a new beginning could be for us, what new life could be for us. And we dig deep and ponder this and consider this so our God can be at work in our lives. So we can see for ourselves how our God is at work in our lives. So let's take this time to continue to prepare and examine, but also have hope, to have faith, and to believe in our God and our Savior, who is able to raise and show us to life when it seems that all is lost. For as the people of God, as the people of Christ, and the people shaped by the Holy Spirit, we stand on the hope, and we live into the hope that death and despair do not have the final say, but life and resurrection through our God, that is what defines us, and that is what has the final say for us as the people of God, now and for all of our days. Amen.